We continue to highlight the 2024 cohort of the Desmond and Leah Tutu Legacy Foundation's Leading for Humanity program. It's a program that highlights young professionals in various sectors from law, local government, youth development, education, manufacturing, even agriculture. And not just from South Africa, but also from participants from the rest of the African continent, but also from the UK and the UK and the USA. And this week we're speaking to Bridget Hannah, who's the Innovation Director at the DG Murray Trust. Good morning, Bridget. Really appreciate your time. You lead the portfolio that's called All Young People on Pathways to Productivity. Is just this necessarily simply about getting young people into places of work and work opportunities, or is it more of an holistic program to see productive young people in all facets of society?
Morning, Lester. Thanks for having me. Absolutely. It is about building ecosystems of support around young people so that they're able to transition from basic education into skills and then into the world of work. But we did focus on what does it look like to work, with the idea that being able to wake up and participate in work is creates a sense of independence, and it creates a sense of meaning beyond just work itself, but the social value of participating in your community and in your country.
Yeah, we often talk about readying young people for the place of work, but do we necessarily ready young people to be active participants, as you say, in their communities, whether it be through active citizenry, if they have young children, to be participating in school governing bodies, even at a almost micro-political level? Are they participating in even local government structures which affect them and their communities? Are we readying young people in a sort of civic-minded education at the moment?
You know, I think it is this particular time of year and this year where we are thinking about what are on young people's minds. And absolutely one of the pieces of work that we are doing is how are we engaging with young people to first of all hear the concerns that are on their mind, but also making sure that they are participating both in elections but also in their communities. And, you know, at the moment I'm sitting in the Eastern Cape and I was visiting young people who are studying at TVET colleges. And when you hear the things that are facing them, it's things like, how am I supported to remain in the skills opportunity? How can you support me with my tuition? How can you support me with transport just to get to class, access to a laptop so that I'm able to do my work? The issues are so basic, Lester, that young people are facing in order to give themselves a leg up. They're not looking for a handout, but they are looking for the support from the institutions that are supposed to support them in this pathway.
We have 27 million people registered to vote in the 2024 elections. We have, I think, 14 million young people in South Africa who qualify to vote but have not registered. When we're talking about the politics of the day and participating in the democracy with these material concerns of young people, does party and participatory politics enthuse them at all? Are they interested, especially if we have 14 million young people who qualify to vote but have not bothered to register to vote?
You know, I think when the institutions that are meant to serve you feel quite absent from your life, it is quite hard to think about how you interact with them. But what we do know is that young people are very active about trying to set themselves up. And so I think and trying to set their own pathway up. And there's a participation in that, a dialogue that's necessary to create, not just about how do you vote and what do you vote, but how do we work together for this participation in the community and in the economy? And for example, you know, you speak about 14 million young people, 9 million of those young people are not in employment, education, or training. So I think when we think about the basic challenges facing young people in trying to participate in, for example, education, for example, in training and work opportunities, that has to be our focus area. Whether they vote or they don't vote, it's a basic expectation to be able to participate.
So you think we can draw a correlation between a 54% youth unemployment rate, which includes not having any access to or any form of schooling and employment? 54% of young people are essentially idle. Do you think that has a direct correlation to the lack of youth engagement when it comes to participatory democracy?
I don't think that we think that any young person is idle. I think that, you know, unfortunately, the statistics are something that we have to rely on. They give us a something to grapple with. I think it's about every young person is waking up in the morning and thinking about what can I do today and how can I make a difference in my own life or in the life of others. And a lot of our work and our collective work in youth development and youth sector and in education, et cetera, needs to be about how do we meet young people where they are, and not just create solutions for them, but create solutions with them that suit them.
Yeah, I agree that idle is not the correct word to use, because if you look at the reports coming out of township economies, even young people who receive a 350 rand basic income, grant they're doing something with that, whether it is using that 350 rand to go to a wholesaler and buying a packet of sweets that they then sell on a taxi rank, for example, those are young people, examples of young people who are trying to take whatever they have and trying to make something of it, Dana?
Yeah. You know, yesterday I was speaking to a young TVET student who, imagine he's made the decision to move from Middle Drift in rural Eastern Cape and come down to his TVET college. Month one, month two, month three, he hasn't received his NSFAS funding. He's trying to attend class every day. So what he did is he started a car wash just so that he would be able to keep paying his rent so that he could stay in class. Month five, month six passes and the funding still hasn't been released. And you start wondering, well, what are we expecting him to focus on? Should he be focusing on his studies, or are we expecting him to work at the same time? And, you know, in a full-time job in the sense that he's able to pay for his transport, his tuition, his accommodation. And that's it's such a visceral challenge that he was faced with. And he didn't sit idle. He started a car wash, washing his lecturer's cars. But that should be a part-time job. That shouldn't be the driver that allows you to remain in class every day.
Really appreciate your time. Bridget Hannish is the Innovation Director at the D.G. Murray Trust, one of the participants in the Desmond and Leah Tutu Legacy Foundation's Leading for Humanity program. We'll feature another participant.